Shalom, and welcome to the Remnant Radio Hour, where we're living and learning a restoration lifestyle. This is Nitza Moshe from Remnant Remedy, and today I have a special co-host and another producer on Messianic Lamb Radio, Brooke Lounsbury. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good. Thank you for inviting me on the program today.
Are you kidding? I love having you on the program. And I thank you for coming. So we are going to talk tonight, which may end up being a series, called Coming Out of Egypt. And you want to share a little bit about what that is, Brooke?
Well, what happened was, I just felt very impressed that we don't even understand we're in Egypt right now, modern day Egypt. And I happened to go to a talk one of Rico Cortez's associates had done on honor and shame. And it really drove it home. I'm just going to read to you something that I'd sent you for the kind of the description. And what he had kind of put in a nutshell, he didn't say it in the same words, but essentially what honor and shame were biblically was to hold a society together and hold, you know, people in esteem for righteous acts. And now it's being used for perversion in our society now, modern society. So I'll go ahead and read this. It says, I had sent this to you. Media is a powerful and effective tool in the modern day to push the New World Order agenda of promiscuity and perversion on us. And we could go on and talk about that. If we don't go along, we are haters. Our youth are particularly under attack. The internet and technology has infiltrated every nook of our lives, and we have surprisingly become very comfortable with it. How do we unplug, and what is the answer? In ancient times, as now, shame and honor were used to shape society and keep people on the straight and narrow. It was just as powerful, but the tide turned with the advent of our creature comforts. We have more leisure time taken up with our technology, even when we try to unplug. And so today we wanted to talk about, and you had actually researched what the word Egypt was in the ancient Hebrew, and also Pharaoh, what the word Pharaoh was. And I thought it'd be great to start out with that before we even jump into the rest of this.
All right. And, you know, I just want to take a moment here. Brooke has a show called Health Begins at Home, correct? And it is on Messianic Lamb Radio and Hebrew Nation Radio. And so we just ask that, you know, you support those radio stations, because if it wasn't for those radio stations, we would have never met, Brooke. you know, that's basically how we met. And I know when I'm not teaching per se, I'm trying to find people that we need to know about that's part of the family and bring them on the show and host them and get people to understand who they are and what they do and connect people. So I think that's important.
Thank you, Nitza. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be here today. So I appreciate being able to do my venting on the air.
Yeah. Amen. And anyway, you know, and if it wasn't for people like Mark and mm-hmm. Don from the radio stations, we wouldn't be here. And if it wasn't for their right. mamas. And so just mm-hmm. praise Yah. Little tiny things that we do, you know, do make a difference in people's lives. So, you know, back to this Mizraim, Egypt thing. Several years ago, I had done a study on the Ten Commandments in ancient Hebrew and tore the pictures apart. And that's really where I got to know the word Mizraim. And in that, studying the Ten Commandments in the ancient pictograph language, I saw that when we work and serve outside of the land and the kingdom of Yah, Elohim, we are serving Pharaoh, the system, whoever it is. And it is slavery. It is bondage. And I know this seems like kind of a dichotomy, but we're really sinning when we're working for anybody or anything except for Father on one hand. On the other hand, that's part of our punishment. You know, when we discipline our children, we send them to their room and they have their discipline issues for a period of time. And our period of time is not over with. So we need to be repenting But we need to, number one, wake up and realize that we're slaves and we are not working a holy, you know, even those of us in ministry, we are not working 100% for Father. We're not in the land. We're not free to have the liberty of his law that is gracious and giving and overflowing, that many people look as, you know, a problem and a heavy yoke, and it's not. And so that is part of what Mizraim is. But if we look at the Hebrew Strong's Concordance number 4714 for Mizraim, it is Masor. And it, there's, now what I'm going to do is just briefly go over this, but if you will do, if you'll do your chain of definitions and your roots, this is where you're going to come up with the stuff that I'm just going to kind of share here. But first, let's back up just a minute. Mizraim, you need to use, if you're going to use an eSword, I use eSword, and I have an ancient Hebrew lexicon attached to my eSword, and I believe theawakenedchurch.com, and I think when Brooke posts this, there's a link to Ancient Hebrew with Jeff Benner where you can get eSword attachments and fonts free so that you can type in ancient Hebrew and look these words up. I like the pictograph language. I like to see the depth to it past that. So, but so when you go in and you punch this, if you just typed in Egypt, you would miss a few of the verses if you didn't use Hebrew H4714, and you, it would skip and go to I think it's Genesis chapter 12, verse 10, where Abram goes down into Egypt. But if you back up and you actually plug those numbers in, it will actually, in the King James anyway, it will say Mizraim in Genesis chapter 10, starting with verse 6. And there's, I think, two or three other verses that you will find in the scriptures before you find it get changed or used as the word Egypt. And Mizraim is the name of one of the sons of Ham. And we know that Ham was the one who uncovered his father. What he did was evil in the sight of Noah, Noah. And we know that his lineage went down into Africa. So I'm not really beefed up on my history there. But I'm going to suggest that if we studied it out, we'll probably find that Mizraim, who was the son of Ham, who was the son of Noah, which is the son of, you know, Adam, that he went down in there and he was cursed and because of what he did. So he basically had an evil heart. And so we go into Genesis chapter 10 and we see that. And then we go into chapter 12 when we see that the woman, which happens to be Abram's wife at the time, is brought into the house of Pharaoh. And I think if you look at the big scenario picture, that is just like Elohim's bride has been brought into the house of Pharaoh. And she is dispersed worldwide and she is in slavery and she's in bondage. And so if we look at the word, and I'm going to skip past the modern Hebrew to the ancient Hebrew pictograph language, we can see that we have water, fluid, blood, chaos. The path to the kingdom of chaos, a hunter, one who is hunting, one who snares, one who chases. He's chasing the head of the ruler, which could be Israel in Ham's case, in Mizraim's case. It could have been, you know, Ham was basically disassociated and cursed for what he did to his father, who was not known as Israel at the time, Noah was, but his lineage was there. And so it's like Egypt, Pharaoh, they work at bringing chaos and taking down those who are to rule with Elohim, that is Israel, his people that are walking in covenant with him. And so we also have the word given, chaos, or waters of chaos. So we basically can say from this word in a pictograph form that Mizraim is something that is like a chaotic thing, that's, or a chaotic kingdom, and it's searching or hunting and snaring and giving unstable waters. It also, if you take some of the words rooted out of that, H4692, we have the word press, enemy, trouble, and let's look at Pharaoh here for a moment. And you know, we're going to think about these when we think about all the things that we're involved with on a daily basis that surrounds us. Okay. And the word Pharaoh, of course, that is, you know, a word used for a king or ruler of Egypt. And we have the pe, the resh, the ein, and the he. And if you take those in the pictograph language, you could basically come up with scattering the head, shadowing or shading or watching over or taking out the breath of life. And so that is Pharaoh's job, okay? And in the center of that word Pharaoh or Paro, we have the word Ra, which is where we get the word evil. And it can mean affliction and calamity and grief. And, you know, some actually what's interesting about these words, both of them, because there's a pressing in Mitzrayim, the idea of pressing or hemming in, because this is what Pharaoh in Egypt does. It cramps you. It confines you. It's the adversary. It presses you. It's also associated with the word shemen in the sense that shemen or essential oils or oil or shining, because that has to be crushed. When you press the olive oils or you press or distill and give the heat to plant material, you come up with oil or a shining. And so that's how these words are related in a kind of, in this point, a negative thing. But just as the plants come out and are pressed negatively, we are pressed negatively and put through heat. We still produce oil. If we will yield to him, we will produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And it, in the long run, becomes for our good because we're called according to his purpose. And that's kind of what we need to keep in mind. So these are kind of the concepts that we want to think of when we think about Egypt, when we think about Pharaoh, and we're coming out. And it is a mindset. It's a mindset of evil. It's a mindset of not being righteous and pure, and it is a mindset of conforming to one of the first places it's mentioned, I believe, is in Genesis 10. Is it Pharaoh? One of these words, when I was doing my search, went back to the Garden of Eden and the knowledge of the fruit, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was the Ra. That's the first time that word Ra, which is at the heart of Pharaoh, in that word, the root word is Ra. That actually occurs in Genesis right there where we're talking about the knowledge of good and evil. So what we want to do here in this program is try to get you to understand and wake up that you are a slave. Now you can choose in your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body to serve and be a bond servant to Elohim. But the reality of our total freedom is not there yet until we are delivered. That's why we need, one of the reasons why we need our Redeemer and our kinsman brother and our deliverer. And we want to help you realize what is kind of going on out there. Sometimes we don't even think or consider what's happening to us. And other times we know things, something's wrong, but we just can't quite understand it. And so we're going to talk about some of those things today.
Very, very good. Thank you for that research. It's fascinating. You're making me want to dust off my ancient Hebrew and pull it out again and start working on it. So you definitely, you know, one of the things I was thinking about, you were talking, and, you know, Moshe begged for his people, let my people go, and we're not there yet. We're still, like you said, people need to wake up. They know there's something wrong. What has happened is the author of confusion has created chaos with so many things going on in our lives. And not just technology, but, you know, ideas and thought crimes and what we eat can affect how you are, your spiritual connection, electromagnetic fields. These are all very real things. However, we'd like to take it apart and help those with ears to hear take it apart and start thinking for yourself, thinking how Yah would want you to think, how would God want you to think, and to start crawling out of the chaos and making order, because he is order. That is what he is. And the enemy is of chaos. And so that's, you know, I can remember when I first started learning about this and waking up years ago, I freaked out and I called my friend up and I said, do you know what they're doing with the North American Union? And they're going to do this and they're going to shut the highways down and we're not going to this and this and this and this. And do you know about 9/11? And I just went off the deep end. It's like, okay, calm down. There are four walls. Has anything happened, Brooke? No. Okay, let's step back. What can we do? How, and you just need to take baby steps. Take a deep breath and start to just, you know, what I actually did need. So was, as we're talking, I started putting down resources at the bottom for people to look it up. And, but I would like to define shame and honor and how they're used in the media. One real example to me that stands out, being living in Oregon, was this poor bakery that actually the gay couple, whether or not they were gay, you should still, it's just a cake. They were fined total, I think it was $137,000. They put them out of business because they wouldn't make a cake for some lesbians or gays or whatever. It really shouldn't matter. That is it. You know, there used to be a thing where no shirt, no shoes, no service. But now they're trying to push us into, you know, whatever. And if you don't like that, you're a hater. You're this, you're that. And so,
hey, can I interject just for a second? I found something out. You were talking about no shirt, no shoes, right? It was just reminding me of, you know, the baggy pants that aren't.
No crack allowed.
Yes, no crack allowed. I found out this is shocking to me. It probably isn't to other people, but that started in the prisons because it was a sign to show that you were available for homosexual sex.
Oh, that is disgusting, but I don't know.
So you know what I mean? So sometimes when I see youth or people, I'm just like, do you know what it means? But in our society today, of course, I could, if I did that in a negative tone, which obviously it would be if I did it, you know, it could be a hate crime. But you know how many kids are walking around with their butts hanging out? And not realizing what that means?
That is horrible. Okay.
Anyway, so go on. I just had a little crack off.
Yeah. Whoa. You know what? I think this is just the start of many podcasts. Honestly, if anybody wants to listen, if they're still listening, anyway. Okay. I'd like to define honor and shame, according to the dictionary. Honor is honesty, fairness, or integrity in one's beliefs and actions. A source of credit or distinction, high respect as for worth, merit, or rank. High public esteem, fame, or glory, which, you know, the public, you know me, I'm not really politically correct, so that really wouldn't matter to me. As if it's used as a verb, it's actually used to worship the supreme being, it says here, which would be, you know, Yahweh. Honor is like to commerce, to accept or pay, a draft, check, etc. To accept is valid and conform to the request or demands of an official document. Okay, so that would be honor. Now you go over to shame. Let's see, on this one with shame, shame to me is really what, it's a sensation. Let's see, what I wanted to do, I wanted to read this, but I lost the place here. Okay. This really gets me. This is a secular view of shame. Shame is the monster that keeps us from doing the things we want to do in life. It's the little voice in your head that tells you you're not good enough, you're going to fail, you can't do it. Even when we're able to ignore that voice and go on, shame tries again and again and tells us, who do you think you are? They're going to all laugh at you. The thing is, the most successful people in the world are those are where they, because they have failed many times before succeeding. You wonder what success really is, you know. Successful and happy people are risk takers who don't let shame control their actions. I agree with that. However, when you're looking at shame as the monster that keeps you from doing things you want to do in life, is that really true? Is it, you know, when I think of shame, I think of, you know, not just being caught or, you know, the little name, you know, whatever. It's, would it please him, you know? And
right. Well, the shame about what is right is the definition of what does Torah say? I mean, we should right. feel shame and remorse when we break his laws and displease him.
Not
because
just
it's
in
going
yourself.
To cause death in our souls and our hearts and our minds and our bodies. And it takes away from the life. And of course, it also breaks that relationship.
Yes, and it does. And the thing is they're taking these words honor and shame that were used biblically to the people used, and they would use their Bibles or the Torah to form societies and to hold themselves to these standards and integrity, and a man's word or a woman's word meant something. Now shame and honor are being used to mold a society into what the media and all the non-credible sources say we should be. The thing is they
correct thing, right?
Well, politically correct, right. And what it is that it's a bare, people want to belong. And using that, they know what they're doing. They're using this power of that feeling of needing to belong to shape and mold and intimidate and coerce people into something that they aren't really, if they would just stop back. What I would like to do is to help people peel the layers back and find out who they really are in Yahweh. Who are you? And what is your value with him, not with what's going on here? This earth is very, very finite. What is going on now is a test, I believe, of what, you know, how we walk this and how we protect our families and also our own ears, eyes, minds, thoughts. Taking, you know, you and I both have enjoyed Dr. Caroline Leaf, and she talks about taking your thoughts captive. She's a Christian psychologist that has if you ever get a chance, that's a great, you know, I should put that one on there too. But yeah. But now they're taking and perverting honor and shame and pushing us into these fields of this perversion of everything. Everything that was right is wrong. Wrong is right. I just went to an exercise class yesterday, and everybody in there was talking about how horrible it was about vaccines. The people aren't getting vaccinated, and who do they think they are? You know, these are the same people plugged into that boob tube called the little rectangle TV with those little EMF. You know what they do? They make the waves on those TVs. I am not making this up, to go at a wavelength that puts you into a state of high suggestivity just before you start drooling all over yourself. And what happens is you allow that into your brain, and then you start thinking that that's how you should be. We start taking our cues from the TV, the boob tube. There's a reason it's called that.
Yes. Now, do we want to talk about vaccinations a little bit in this?
That's why I brought it up. You go right ahead. Speaking of which, I will have a link to NVIC, National Vaccination Information Center, will be on there. You can make up your own mind about vaccines. I won't have anything to do with them. They put those little miniature computers in them now that they can shoot right into your arm. So anyway, nanotechnology, that's what it's called. Anyway, you go ahead. The soapbox is yours.
Ah, yeah, we can be on this one a long time. Okay. Well, so what kind of brought this up was Brooke and I were, I don't know, we were doing something, working on something. And on my Skype, I never noticed advertisements on my Skype before. And while I'm talking to her, I get this picture of a grandmother with a sweater and her little pearls on, only grandmother has a wolf's face and granny glasses on, and she's holding a grandbaby. And, of course, when I first saw the picture, it just said something about contact your doctor to see if whooping cough vaccinations are right for you. And I'm looking at this and going, oh my gosh, I cannot believe this. They're promoting vaccinations, but they're telling you with the picture that grandma's a wolf. that she really is evil, right? I mean, you know, it just hit me as this double whammy. Like, they weren't even trying to hide and be subtle. They were just right out telling you this. Well, then to make matters worse, I follow the link, you know, because I'm going to check this out. And you can go check this out. It's called helppreventdisease.com. Let me tell you how to prevent disease. Follow the Torah, follow the scriptures, follow the health eating rules and laws in scripture. That's your number one foundation for health.
Can I tell you something real quick?
Yes, go for it.
Okay, real quick about the measles. Then, okay, 93% of children that had their gut bacteria tested that had autism had the, 93% of the children that had
autism.
No. Never mind. Let me look it up. But I'm going to tell you the live virus compared to the vaccine. It is good to get sick. Let me find it here, and then I'll get back.
Go ahead. Builds up the immune system. Most people don't understand that the immune system is like a bank.
It was found in the measles. The measles live virus was found in only 6%. Oh, well, anyway, go ahead.
Okay. The immune system is like a bank, and if you use it all up on vaccinations, you can't put any more deposits back in there. You use them up on vaccinations. We won't even talk about the fetus and the animal tissues and all the other things that are in there. But just on an immune system, if you violate it and you keep taking from it, you're not going to have much of one left. And then when you really need it for something, you're not going to have it. But anyway, so let's get back to this grandma wolf.
Okay, so go ahead.
I go to this website, right? And it says, oh, grandma, what a big whooping cough you have. Now, I'm assuming that that's the baby telling this to the wolf grandmother. So now, not only are they one way telling you that grandma really is a wolf because she wants her baby to be vaccinated, is the way I read it originally, because of where I'm coming from and the damages I've seen. This is the baby telling grandma, please don't be a wolf and be evil when you hold me. This is what this picture portrays. You need to keep me safe by getting a whooping cough vaccination. Now, I'm going to tell you something, and I know this show is going to upset a lot of people that vaccinate, but let me tell you some experiences I've had, and with whooping cough. I have five living children, seven total, five living children, and when I had the five, and when I had babies, I had like a preemie, like about 3 or 4 months old, and I had a one-year-old, and I had an eight-year-old, and I had a nine-year-old, maybe four and nine, and 13, okay? My kids got the whooping cough, okay? Now, I was already into health and nutrition, you know, herbs, oils, etc. And I had a wonderful pediatrician whose husband was actually a naturopath also and a pharmacist. Interesting combination. And, you know, it was a little scary to have a baby, especially a preemie baby, coughing and choking. And, you know, it's not a wonderful thing to have. But this was happening. And, you know, I was using the echinacea and the golden seal and some mullein and different things that I was using. I was just kind of new to oils. I didn't know as much about oils as I do now, obviously. This was like 15 years ago. And so I thought, well, you know, I can really trust my pediatrician because I can talk to her about all these different things. And she's not going to force me into antibiotics and vaccinations and all that stuff. So the one time I broke down and allowed my children to have antibiotics was that one time. And do you know, in our case, in our family, it didn't do a thing to help my children get well. What ended up helping them get well was homeopathy for whooping cough. And there are certain types of homeopathy, depending on the description of your cough within whooping cough. So my point of that is it is very possible that if you live a healthy lifestyle, you're using healthy alternative things, that you can get well. And in our case, it actually backfired on us. And so, but you know what, I think what happens a lot of times is people try to go healthy and it's not the greatest thing for them because they don't understand the body detoxing. They don't understand that having a fever, you know,
is healthy.
Right, is healthy. They
you
don't
need
understand.
To have fevers. Oh,
and
here
they,
it is. I
they
found
put a
it.
Foot in the system and they mm-hmm. take a foot out. Mm-hmm. And my experience is if you do everything you possibly know to do to live a healthy, healthy lifestyle, there may be occasions when you do need to go to the doctors and get these types of things, but it is an exception. And many times they have backfired on us and we found out that the worst thing we did was do that. And I believe Father honored that and I believe he protected us through it. So it is a walk of faith. And I believe the days that we're getting ready to walk into, it's not even going to be an option. It's going to be just like Mitzrayim. It's going to be just like Egypt right before it was time to go. And the midwives had to, you know, not make sure that the babies were killed right away. Your option is not going to be to go to the system. So the more you practice a healthy lifestyle and living the Torah now, the more you practice living in faith and living in hearing and get the Ruach HaKodesh. Build a relationship with him.
Yes.
So you hear his voice. I've had him tell me to take a child to the doctors for a reason. Okay?
Wow.
Now, that is a rare exception. But he told me, and the child ended up needing heart surgery, even after I'd already told the doctor there's a problem. The doctor told me there wasn't a problem. Okay, so you have to have a relationship with him. You have to learn to know his voice. You have to respond to him. I mean, I could say a blanket statement, you know, that 99.9% of the time you can do things naturally, but that's not going to matter if you don't hear him talk to you. The reason I don't vaccinate, and let me just share this for a minute, Brooke, and I'll let you have the floor, was when my second daughter, I took her for her first, I think it was 6 weeks at the time, DPT, oral DBT, was oral. I remember, you got to understand, I'm an Air Force brat. I had every vaccination there was, okay? That was a way of life. I did that with my first child, and I did correlate it, but I kind of didn't. She got really sick many times after each of her vaccinations. But I didn't really connect the dots until my second child was born, and I was grieving. I couldn't understand why, but I was grieving when they gave her oral DPT. I brought her back. I took her to work with me at the time, and I'm standing there. I know exactly where I was standing, exactly what I was doing, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and this is why you've got to know him and have a relationship with the living God. He spoke to me, and he said, "Why did you do that?" And I was like, "Well, that's what all good parents do. You give your child vaccinations." And this is what he asked me. He said, "Is it okay with you if I choose to let her die from pertussis?" Well, I had to think about that for a second because I remembered the verse that he counted every hair on our heads and he knew, you know, every moment and hour of our days of our life that, you know, we were his. And if I had totally surrendered my life to him, then who am I to choose how my child is to live or die? And so I answered him and I said, "Yes. If that's what you choose, yes." Mm-hmm. And his answer back to me was, "Don't do that again." So I knew I wasn't going to vaccinate. The very next day, a woman walked into my office who I had briefly met at a Lalechi meeting. She walked in off the street. She asked me, she says, "Do you vaccinate?" And I said, "Well, as of yesterday, no." And she says, "Well, I believe I'm supposed to give you this book." And she handed me a book called DPT, A Shot in the Dark. I went home, and I'm telling you, I couldn't get past the first three chapters without going, oh my gosh, this is insane. How can these practices be? And from that moment on, my journey began of understanding why and helping other women and mothers and families not vaccinate their children and how to legally deal with that. And so I don't want to argue with the doctor about the, you know, all, I mean, there's so much statistics and information out there. There's so many scientific reasons to not vaccinate, but I don't want to get into a knowledge argument. I want to get in, I just want to be able to respond, you know what? That's not what my God wants. And now I understand that it's a violation of Torah. It's a violation of the blood laws. And so I know that may seem extremely harsh to listeners, but I just ask you, please understand and ask him to show you, because this is part of the whole thing about coming out of Egypt, is we want to be able to show you, to have you open your eyes to see what we see. And you know what? I know that I'm deceived and I don't see everything. Mm-hmm. But I want to see everything. I want to know the truth. I want to see the truth. I want to see it the way he sees it. And on one hand, I could get upset like a lot of mothers who've had sick children from vaccinations or have died. And I could condemn myself for having done that. Or I could say, praise you, you didn't let me go through another child. I actually honestly believe, and there's been some research, that that second child that got one, only one oral DBT, that it is linked to scoliosis and lots of other issues. And we have suffered through that, and my daughter's suffering from it today. And she's almost 25 years old. So I'm just saying, please, if you want to know the truth, seek him, ask him, because I'm telling you, the days are coming soon. You're only going to have him and your relationship with him mm-hmm. to deal with your health and the issues that you have at hand.
Yes, that was very good. Very good. And a lot to think about. Now, on my radio show, I brought this up, but I'm going to bring this up just along what you're saying. First of all, the relationship has to be there, which means coming out of Egypt first means sitting down and quieting your mind. And whenever it is, everybody says, I don't have time. Lock the bathroom door if you have to for 10 minutes before everybody gets up. Whatever it is, you have to find that time to start. We have one mouth and two ears. So you speak your requests, but you listen twice as much. But that is, like you said, I know that there's a time when there is not going to be the internet. There is not going, and everybody's like, oh, that's awful. Not really, because he will be guiding us just like he guided the you know, the pillar of fire, and, you know, he's going to do that again.
Oh, the quality of life will be so much better.
It will. We won't be, you know, radiated.
Some of us still remember that. No.
We were talking about that. We're dating ourselves. It's nice to have that, though, to know what it was like. But actually wanted to say something about this with the measles. 93% of autistic children that had their gut bacteria tested showed positive for the measles vaccination, the strain of DNA that the vaccination is, and only 6% of non-autistic children had that. So another thing too is there's something I want to throw in there really quick. The way you don't get measles is through plenty of vitamin A. The only problem is that as I've researched this, that they have found up to 45% of people do not convert the beta carotene from their vegetables into vitamin A, and they need to take it through another source, which would be a fish oil or something like that, which might offend vegans, but I really don't care. Yeshua fed with fish. And so if you're having trouble, if you're getting sick a lot, start some cod liver oil or something like that. And it also has been shown to reduce the side effects. Very few people actually really, out of the percentage, really do get measles. And I wouldn't wish it on anybody. My husband had measles when he was growing up. He told me about it. However, Your body has memory cells. And what's wonderful is that the more times you get sick and get over it, the more memory cells. That's why the people are living, the generation before us that didn't have all these vaccinations, they lived into their 80s and 90s. They ate lots of fat. They ate, you know, sugar and all this. Well, it wasn't GMO sugar, and it was healthy grass-fed fats from their cows that they ate, and they got their vitamin A, and if they didn't get that, what happened was they got sick, and their bodies remembered how to fight the next bout, especially now with this avian influenza that I've talked about for months, that's coming and now has killed up to 20%, I think it is, of the egg supply, egg layers in Iowa, I think it was. It can combine. They have actually found it has an affinity for the current flu that we have going around. It has a 60 to 90% kill rate, and once you have symptoms, you're dead in 48 hours. So our bodies need to know how to get sick and how to get better. And you're right about the whole thing with the fevers. We need to have fevers, you know, unless we're going into convulsions. You know, 103 fever. You need to know how to take care of that with, you know, putting the wet socks on the feet and those kind of things, and don't cover somebody up really hot. But, you know, you really do need to have a fever. It increases the white blood cell count. It gets those killer cells in there, and it attacks them. It attacks that bacteria, virus, whatever's in there. Our bodies, divinely, you know, made by Him, by the Father, are amazing. And we interfere with our arrogance and think that we know better. We want to shoot ourselves up with, mercury. And, I mean, look at this. I used to sit there and read the all you have to do is get the insert. Even if it doesn't have mercury, it's got aluminum in it, which is just as bad. They say, oh, it doesn't have, mercury in it. This has aluminum. Oh, wonderful. We'll just have Alzheimer's then, you know.
Right.
So,
and basically, people need to start reading and thinking for themselves. Connecting the dots.
Yes.
And if the dots don't connect, then you need to follow those trails. Another thing is mucus. You know, people are taking meds to get rid of the mucus. Well, the reason your body has mucus is because it's inflamed and it's trying to get that junk out of there. So instead, you know, use an herb like mullein that will help
thin it out,
pull it out.
Yeah.
Just pull it out of your body and your lymphatic system. So, you know, one of the words I forgot to share about that picture with the wolf was I had learned a word because different meanings that one picture, that one advertisement had is a word called entendre, which is E-N-T-E-N-D-R-E, and I think it's a French word, and we can call this a double entendre, and it basically means a phrase or could be a picture that has double meanings, and the purpose of using the double entendre is usually to articulate one thing perfectly and indirectly, which is generally interesting, an insult, or an insinuation. And I guess I didn't know this, but it's a literary term, and Shakespeare used it often. So Shakespearean lovers, you might want to look that up. And so anyway, that's basically what that advertisement was. It had so many meanings, and probably so much many more if I actually took the time to focus on that. So what else do we have? We have about 9 minutes, Brooke.
Oh, already, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, I had talked about, there were four things I had on here that I kind of wanted to cover.
Okay.
We can go, we'll do this at the end, the car seats. I know you definitely want to talk about that. Family meals make a difference. Now, you know, we talk about, you know, what's wrong. I would like this to be a forum also for what is right. Sitting down at a meal, it doesn't have to be dinner, but even breakfast or a snack together, not in front of the boob tube, but sitting. And that's one thing we've lost conversation. They do say that actually we are losing that.
We have Facebook.
Oh, please. Your child may, I'm going to read this off of Parenting in Context. It's actually from Cornell University. Your child may be 35 26% less likely to engage in disordered eating, 24% more likely to eat healthier foods, and 12% less likely to be overweight. And there's so many other things. It's such a bonding time. This is the only time we have from that we have with our children a lot of times, because we have these overscheduled busy lives. So think about setting some time aside. Having a meal in the Hebraic context is a very spiritual significance. And let's just take some time to digest and focus and get realigned with who is really important: Facebook, the computer, the TV, or that person, that precious person, whoever it is, your husband, your neighbor, and take that time with them. That is what we need. And then real quick, overload of screen time causes depression in children. Get off of the screens. The rectangles need to go. They call this excessive. I actually find this addiction. The report found, this is off of independent.co.uk, British children who spend most time in front of a television and computer screens have lower self-esteem and greater emotional problems. Duh. You know what they call excessive? More than 4 hours a day. Half of a work day. So I have a link to that, and I'll be putting that once I get the, I forgot to record this. So hopefully somebody's recording it and I can get it, and I'll attach it. But I put all of these links in there. Another thing too, gardening is healthy mentally and physically. They have actually found that the bacteria, they found it on accident. They were trying to find something that would help relieve pain in cancer patients. And this article I have doesn't talk about it, but what they have found out is that it actually helps increase the feel-good chemicals in your body by breathing in the dirt while you're working it, as long as it's not, you know, as long as it's healthy dirt. And I always go back to the garden, and when Yahweh kicked them out of the garden because they misbehaved, and they were depressed probably because here they were in the perfect land, they were going to live forever, and then they're knocked out, they're stuck, and he commanded them to work the soil. When you work the soil, it has profound physical, emotional, and spiritual benefits. And also, you are one step away from breaking away from Egypt, even if it's something on your windowsill. So I'll have a link to that. And let's see, what else did I have here real quick? And then I'm going to hand it over to you. I wanted to talk about really quick, though, the car seat thing. And then I'm going to hand it over to you because we've talked about this. Oh, another thing, too, FaceTime versus screen time. And now they talk about how the ability to understand. Okay, let's see. This one here talks about, they're fine. Duh. You know, this is called common sense. We need to start thinking critically. I mean, I can't believe that we even have to deal with this. They're finding out that people communicate more often with family and friends because of technology, but the quality of that communication may be weaker. Kids who spend time engaging with the screen other than kids or adults can struggle to understand emotion, create strong relationships, or become dependent on others. Become more dependent. These kids aren't connecting emotionally. Emails, texts lack the emotive qualities of face-to-face interaction. Do you know when you feel that there's something in the either that somebody has offended you in the Bible, they talk about it, or if they're doing wrong that you feel, you go to them personally. Do you text them? Hello?
Well, you know, many youth especially will text their family because they know they can get away without having to deal with the emotions and the, you know, the verbal feedback and all that goes with the communications by not just calling.
Exactly. And see, we need to take back our families. Yeah. I had my neighbor who's a Hebrew roots lady who has 7 children. She homeschools and she made the, when her child was born, she actually had never even considered homeschooling. And so I have that interview that's on my site here coming up here pretty soon. But anyway, we need to take back what that we have given away, our families, our lives, to things to make our lives more comfortable. So I'm going to read this and then I will leave it to you. I'm going to let you finish out this program. When did car seats become mandatory? In 1978, Tennessee was the first state to make car seats mandatory. By 1988, the rest of the states adopted the law. You know, you and I lived, Nitsa. We lived. I actually came home from the hospital in the front of the floorboards of a Model A pickup truck, and I'm alive to talk about it. Prior to the mid-1970s, less than 10%, less than 10% of American families were using car seats for their children. I'm not saying they haven't saved lives before, but it's that hysteria that really completely drives me nuts. You can get on the soapbox now. Because you told me you wanted to talk about the car seats.
Well, we're going to have to bring that back because we only have a couple minutes left. Well, first of all, you know, to the listeners, I just want to say, you know, we're not saying don't use technology, but it needs to be a tool that you control and that you're mm-hmm. not a snare of, you know, and for some people, different personalities, different makeups of people, it is a huge snare and there is no control. Others, you know, they have a good balance, and others, you know, they just got to be aware. That's the big thing. Be aware that you're trying to be snared. Be aware that you're snared. Be aware that you are a slave to Egypt. You know, that's kind of part of that. Do the best you can with what you have and be aware of these things. But the question that I had there, and you know, we're talking about things that, you know, and they tell you it's against the law not to get vaccinations. They tell you, it is a law that you have to use your car seats. But let's understand that it's not breaking of Yahweh's commandments if you don't vaccinate. Actually, I think if you vaccinate, it is, but that's up for debate, I'm sure. But not having a car seat doesn't make you an immoral person who has broken Yahweh's commandments. The point that we were trying to make is look at the things in your life that have changed. When you were growing up, they didn't take your parents away from you. They didn't take you away from your parents. They didn't put them in jail. They didn't fine them. They didn't make them out to be bad, horrible citizens if you didn't get vaccinations and you didn't have car seats. And actually, these rules are still pretty much the same in foreign countries. But here in America, it has now become a crime and is used to control and manipulate the people and have even your brothers and sisters attack each other and put each other down and turn each other in for crimes that are not crimes against God's laws. That's, I think, mostly the main point I want to make to that. And for you to wake up and be aware of these things, you know, that's the big thing.
Wake up.
So. Yeah, wake up. Realize what's going on, because you are not going to be ready to get up and walk out of the land and go back to the kingdom when it comes time if you're still hanging on and allowing yourself to be blind and sleep and be slumber. I think it's Psalm 13:3, I believe, it says, "Consider and hear me, O Yahweh, my Elohim. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Give me light to see." And Brooke, we're going to have to come back and do this again because we're out of time. All right. So this will be posted at healthbeginsathome.com at Brooksite, and it will be at remnantremedy.net/radio. Remnantremedy.net is down right now, but it should be up hopefully by Sunday or Monday, and we'll be back on track. So may your garments always be white and let your head lack no shemen. Shalom. She takes